Welcome to the NTEB Prophecy News Podcast with your host and Bible teacher, Jeffrey Greider. Rightly divided, dispensationally correct, and standing on the authority of the King James Holy Bible, this program is brought to you by NowTheEndBegins.com.
And good afternoon, happy Friday, everybody, and welcome to this edition of the Prophecy News Podcast. We took a break on Wednesday night because I needed to pull off to the side for a moment and catch my breath with all this end times activity. I am rested, refreshed, and back in the heat of the battle and ready to go. Today, a godless America craves a culture of death and disinformation to drive New World Order end times agenda. An amazing thing is happening right before your very eyes, something that the vast majority of the world is watching but unable to comprehend. Our global community, led by a godless America, spews forth an unrelenting cavalcade of misinformation and disinformation in order to foster an agenda while demanding a perpetual daily sacrifice of unborn souls to the altar of Moloch. Right now, people are literally weeping at the prospect of abortion coming to an end, and that is demonic. But hold on, it gets worse. Revelation 9, verses 20 and 21, verses that will be fulfilled during the time of Jacob's trouble after the rapture of the church. Revelation 9, 20, "And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts." On this episode of the Prophecy News Podcast, it's another Friday at the end of yet another week of so much end times information that we struggle. And that's a true statement. We struggle with what to show you first, each story more horrific than the next one. Now, if you have the Holy Spirit discernment, understanding what you're watching is as easy as pie. You can see what's coming from 100 miles away. But to this God-rejecting and mostly unsaved world that we live in, it is a cause of great debate, confusion, and consternation. In America, Democrats are weeping at the thought of no longer being able to kill their own babies. Think about that for a moment. In Europe, we're watching people being denied food and water because they don't want to be vaccinated. In the Middle East, we see the world's most vaccinated nation, Israel, now with the highest COVID rates per capita in the world. In Asia, we're watching communist China becoming more powerful than America. The entire planet is being given over to a reprobate mind, so to speak, that the word of God might come to pass. We who are saved have a ringside seat for the world's biggest show. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you, Lord. We have a praise report from Gia Camino. Surgery was a success. He's in a lot of pain, but the surgery went well. Continued prayers for healing and recovery. Lori D. in Pennsylvania, praise report. A massive tornado came through her area, came literally within yards of her house, and she and her family were spared. And she is greatly thanking the Lord today. We pray for Sarah to get saved. We pray Jacqueline in New Mexico has started a new job, and she's rejoicing. We pray that God keeps his hand on her in that new position. Chelsea on the West Coast, God knows the needs there. We pray for Pastor John Ree in the Philippines, that his ministry might increase and more souls would be saved. We pray for Jeff and Ann Reed in the hospital with COVID, but doing much better. So it's kind of a prayer request praise report. We pray for this ministry and for me and Jeanette and Lorianne and Harmon as we minister for a hedge of protection about us. Praise report, my employee Megan and her boyfriend both had COVID for the last 2 weeks, and they both have recovered. And so we put that in the praise report category. Shayla Clark, prayers for my husband Glenn's salvation. We're still praying for Jessica Welsh. And I don't know if she's out of prison yet, but that's where she spent her 20th birthday last week. And her mom, Maria, very much wants to see her get saved. We pray for Dakota, who's being deployed to the Middle East to deal with the Afghan situation. We pray for protection about him and all U.S. soldiers, anywhere they might be around the world. We pray for Clayton Perry for a healing from cancer. Shar says prayers for son-in-law salvation and a husband who is battling alcoholism. Shay Caster, prayer request for the salvation of my daughter Melody Rose and another young woman named Skylar, and for Nick in a California prison system. He's a 15-year offender. Charlton says, we just got home. My wife is groggy. Thank you for the prayers. The surgery went well. We're going to keep her in prayer. Angel says, prayers for all the millions of people that have received a track, a gospel track from someone, that their eyes would soon be open and they would receive Jesus as their Savior. Phyllis T says, pray for my internet connection had to reboot 3 times. And we know that Satan is the prince of the power of the airwaves. Spiritual battle. So, Lord, for all these prayers and the unspoken prayers of our hearts. Tina says, prayer request for a new job. We pray for all of the men and women in the United States military. We pray that God would keep his hand on them. We love the soldiers, the infantry men and women, the corpsmen, the Navy, the Army, the Marines, the Coast Guard, Space Force, National Guard. We pray for all of our soldiers, and we thank them for keeping us safe. Heavenly Father, for all these prayers and for the prayers of our hearts, we ask you, Lord, in Jesus' name, to hear these prayers, to answer these prayers for your glory and for our good. And we just thank you and praise you and commit this time to you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. All right. Welcome, everybody. Glad you're here today. Like I told you, we have so much stuff to talk about today. It's another one of those podcasts that, it makes my job so much easier when I have this much stuff to talk about. This morning I was having coffee on my patio, and my daughter Megan, who's been here for the last couple of weeks, and she's going to be here the entire month, she's in from Colorado and she's working in the bookstore. And I was having coffee and doing my devotions this morning, and she came into the patio and said, Dad, I want to tell you about this dream that I had. It was really, really strange. And she said that before she went to sleep last night, her prayer was that God would speak to her in her dream. And she said that she never asked for something like that before. And then she dreamed a dream. And in that dream, kind of sounds like the book of Daniel, but my daughter told me that after saying that prayer, she dreamed a dream, and in her dream, the pre-tribulation rapture of the church was taking place. And she heard the trumpets, and she felt that she was going up in the air. But when she opened her eyes, she was not in the clouds. She was in a hotel, and she was all by herself. And she didn't know where the hotel was. She didn't know why she was there. She didn't know why she wasn't in the clouds. She heard the trumpets for the rapture. She heard the voice of Jesus Christ. But when she opened her eyes, she was in a hotel, and she felt lonely and isolated. Now, of course, this is just a dream. This is not prophecy. But we talked about it this morning, and the conclusion that we came to, my daughter came to this conclusion, that maybe God is sending a message, that it's time that we pull back to Him. And I'm not talking to lost people, because lost people can't pull back to God. Lost people can get saved, but only saved people can pull back to Jesus Christ. And we talked about that at length this morning, and it was a great conversation, and I really enjoyed that she shared that with me. But it really put on my heart, that time is so short. C.T. Studd, only one life 'twill soon be past, and only what's done for Christ will last. We're living in a day and age where things are happening so fast and so quickly that we cannot even begin to comprehend the depth and the scope and the gravity of what's going on right in front of our faces. Habakkuk says, "Behold ye among the heathen and regard and wonder marvelously. For I will work a work in your day which you will in no wise believe, though it be told you." And I want you to keep that in your mind during this time period, in these days and weeks and months that we find ourselves in. We had really good news the other day. I was very happy to post this story. As the power is beginning to come back on in Louisiana, in Baton Rouge, one of the very first things to come back online was the part of town where the NTEB Gospel Witness billboard is, the one that was put up by Kyle and his wife Reagan. And we're going to be jumping in on that. We want to help support that efforts. And we're going to see if we can help sponsor that billboard for a couple of months. But Kyle and his wife Reagan are excited to be getting something done for the Lord. And he sent me a picture of the billboard after the hurricane and all the floodwaters around it and the repair trucks on the side of the road, and beaming bright, bold, and beautiful is this billboard that says, "All have sinned. The penalty is hell. Salvation is only through Jesus Christ. Now the end begins." And isn't it great? Kyle told me that the billboard came online 3 days and three nights after the hurricane hit Louisiana. Now, I know that's only symbolic, but it kind of sends a chill down my spine every time I think about that. The fifth most destructive storm ever to hit America, strongest storm ever to hit America. And 3 days and three nights later, one of the first things that comes back online is our NTEB Gospel Witness billboard. Carol Jane says, "Glory to God." Amen. Amen. We serve a God that can put a billboard back on, especially a billboard like that. So today I want to talk to you about two things, and they both begin with the letter D. I want to talk to you about death and disinformation. We'll go with the second one first. It's kind of like when you read the book of Ezekiel. Have you ever read chapter 38 and 39 in the book of Ezekiel? And have you ever looked at the war that's in Ezekiel 38? And it sounds exactly like the battle of Gog and Magog in Revelation 20. That takes place after the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. And that's in chapter 39. But in chapter 38 of the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 38 is the battle of Gog and Magog. But in chapter 39 is the battle of Armageddon. And I always found that strange that God would put those two wars in backwards. you would think that Ezekiel 38 would be the first war, which is the Battle of Armageddon. And you would think that Ezekiel 39 would be the second war, which is the Battle of Gog and Magog, but God reversed it. And you have to study it through. Of course, that's why 2 Timothy 2:15 tells us, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So if you just take a casual look at Ezekiel 38 and 39, you see one war. But when you apply 2 Timothy 2:15 to Ezekiel 38 and 39, you see two separate wars in reverse order, separated by a 1,000-year period. And that's what happens when you look deeper at what's on the surface. Paul says, study, be a workman, rightly divide, dig deep, because that's what workmen do. Have you ever spent time with a plumber or a carpenter or an electrician or a construction worker or a steel worker or a spackler or a plumber? Those guys work really, really hard. And at the end of the day, they are covered in sweat and their clothes are filthy and they are exhausted. That's how Paul wants you to study the Bible, like a workman. So I said all that to say this. I'm going to talk to this afternoon about death and disinformation. And I'm going to give you the second one first and the first one second, and you'll see why in just a minute. So the first thing that I want to talk about today is disinformation. I've told you many times that everything that you're hearing from the mainstream media and all these fact checkers, Facebook has a fact checking company. Facebook spends millions of dollars on their fact checking. Now, you and I know that that's a big bunch of nonsense. Facebook fact checkers do nothing but suppress the truth and promote lies. That's what Facebook fact checkers do. That's what all liberal fact checkers do. They suppress the truth, they feed you disinformation, and they promote lies. One of the reasons for that is when Facebook created, back in 2016, 5 years ago, when Facebook created their fact-checking department, they created that department with the help of a group called the International Fact-Checking Network, otherwise known as IFCN. And the IFCN is hosted and sponsored by the Poynter Institute for Media Studies. Now, if you take a quick search on who sponsors the Poynter Institute, you will find that the Poynter Institute, which sponsors the International Fact-Checking Network, they are sponsored by the George Soros Open Society Foundation, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, Google, and the National Endowment for Democracy. So we live in a day and age where the fact checkers are liars. The fact checkers are telling you things that categorically and absolutely are not true. And not only are they giving you disinformation, okay, misinformation is when you repeat something that is not true, but you think it's true. That's misinformation. Disinformation is what Joseph Goebbels and the Nazi Ministry of Propaganda did. They create things that are 100% not true. They know that they're not true. And yet they feed these lies to you around the clock. So right off the bat, I want you to understand the difference, because words have meaning. I want you to understand the difference between misinformation and disinformation. Misinformation is when you repeat something that's not true, but you think it's true. Disinformation is when you intentionally say something that is not true and you know it's not true, but you are trying to create an agenda. One of the greatest examples that I can give you happened 2 days ago. And 2 days ago on Wednesday, Joe Rogan, who is a UFC commentator, and he is, for many years, he was the world's most listened to podcaster. He's never not in the top one or two or three of people who have the most popular, most listened to podcasting programs anywhere in the world. So Joe Rogan is a huge public figure. And Joe Rogan shared his story on Wednesday that over the weekend he was diagnosed with COVID. And he got a test, and then he said this. Here's an exact quote from Joe Rogan. "I just got back from the road on Saturday, and I was feeling very weary. I had a headache, and I felt run down. So just to be cautious, I separated from my family. I slept in a different part of the house. And throughout the night, I got fevers and sweats, and I knew what was going on." Joe Rogan says, "I got up in the morning, I got tested, and as it turns out, I got COVID. So we immediately threw the kitchen sink at it." He said, "I took monoclonal antibodies, ivermectin, Z-Pak, prednisone, and a vitamin drip." And he said, "I did that for 3 days in a row, and here we are on Wednesday, and I feel great." Now, what I just gave you is an exact quote from Joe Rogan. And for the past 48 hours, I have watched every single mainstream media news outlet, including Drudge Report. I have watched every single one of them with a variation of the same headline. And it goes like this. Joe Rogan infected, comma, taking horse medicine. That is what dozens and dozens and dozens of headlines said over the past 48 hours. And that is an absolute piece of disinformation mixed in with misinformation. By the time that Joe Rogan shared his story on Wednesday, the crisis had already passed. He said that he felt great. He was only really sick for one day, and 2 days after that, he said he feels great. But every single media outlet, they ran a headline making you believe that Joe Rogan may or may not be feeling great. His status is unknown. The only thing that we do know is that he's infected with COVID and that he's taking horse medicine. And the reason why the mainstream media does that is because they are driving an agenda. If the media was honest with you, and as I say these things, I am reminding myself that Now the End Begins is one of the websites that is listened to by the U.S. Cyber Command. And many, many of you in the military have written to me and given me screenshots that when you try to access Now the End Begins from a military connection, a little box pops up with red letters, and it says website blocked. And then the U.S. Cyber Command talking about Now the End Begins. They say, you have attempted to access a blocked website. Access to this website has been blocked for operational reasons by the DoD Enterprise Level Protection System, category extremism. So when I bring you these programs, it is with the full knowledge that we're being monitored actively. I'm not saying this in a paranoid way. I'm saying it in a factual way. Now the End Begins is on the list of extremist websites by the U.S. Cyber Command. So I'm sure that they're monitoring not just some of our programs, but all of our programs. So why does the mainstream media give you a headline? Joe Rogan infected, taking horse medicine. Because they are trying to make you think that ivermectin does not work. And it does work. They're trying to make you think that Joe Rogan is on his deathbed because he's taking horse medicine. And when you read Joe Rogan's quote, ivermectin was only one of the things that Joe Rogan tried. Ivermectin has been approved by the FDA for the past 25 years. It first got approved in 1996. And it's largely a medicine that you give to people when they have pinworms and parasites. And because medicine for human beings works well in horses, they give it to horses when they need to have their parasites removed. But I want you to focus on the fact that for the past 48 hours, the mainstream media did nothing but twist the truth about Joe Rogan. I am still waiting for one headline that says, Joe Rogan beats COVID in 3 days, taking ivermectin. That would be the truth. Now, again, ivermectin was only one of the things that he took. But he did take it. And not one headline tells you that he recovered in a 72-hour period. Now, why do they do that? Because they don't want you to know the truth. And even when you have a situation like the world's most listened to podcaster telling you that he beat COVID in 3 days with vitamins, ivermectin, and monoclonal antibodies, that is something that terrifies the mainstream media. So they can't stop you from hearing about it. Not yet, anyway. They will. But they do their best to run those big black and white headlines. And so that's what they want you to think. That poor, crazy, conspiracy theory Joe Rogan on his deathbed taking horse medicine. And nothing could be further than the truth, from the truth. So I want you to understand that we're living in a day and age, we're living in a time. The Bible says that truth is fallen in the streets. And we live in a time where truth is fallen. Isaiah 59:14-15. And judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and displeased him that there was no judgment. Now you would think that having a story like Joe Rogan gets COVID, beats it in 3 days, and he didn't use a vaccine. You see, now there you have a problem. The reason why the government wants to make you think that only crazy people would take ivermectin is because ivermectin, along with anticlonal antibodies and vitamins and all that other stuff, they work. But they don't want you to do something that is not a vaccine. And I've been showing you for the past 3 months that everything that they told you about the vaccines is not true. They first told you that if you took the vaccine, you're not going to get sick. And people got sick. Then they told you that if you took the vaccine, you wouldn't be hospitalized. And people got hospitalized. Then they told you that if you took the vaccine, well, you might get sick and you might be hospitalized, but you're not going to die. And then people started dying. And now they say that booster shots are going to be absolutely part of the requirement because the vaccines by themselves do not prevent you from having COVID. And on and on and on it goes. And they're telling you time and time and time again things that are not true. So you can make up your mind as to what you believe, but don't use the mainstream media to do it because they are telling you things that are not true. They don't want you to consider any other option except for a vaccine. They don't want you taking vitamins. They don't want you taking monoclonal antibodies. They don't want you taking ivermectin or Z-Pak. They want you to take that shot. And they want you to take that shot so badly, they are willing to put people in prison who speak out against it. Now, I've always told you for these past 20 months, and I told you this before the vaccine ever came out, you need to make up your own mind as to whether or not you're going to take the vaccine. You need to research. You need to get the facts. You need to pray and ask God to give you wisdom. Don't let the media make up your mind for you. Every single day, people die after having the vaccine. Every single day. Every single day, people have adverse reactions and blood clots and myocarditis and inflammation of the heart sac. These things are happening every single day. Remember when they tried to tell you that 99.1% of everybody in the hospital who was sick with COVID was not vaccinated? Well, that turned out to not be true. The reason why they said that is because they had stopped taking a record of the breakthrough cases. And when somebody went digging and found out how many breakthrough cases there really were, the official story from the CDC was low by about 500%. If you're waiting for the retraction, if you're waiting for the apology, you're going to be waiting a long time. They never retract. They never apologize. And if anything appears in writing, it's 15 pages back next to the comic section where nobody looks. Anthony Fauci says now that three doses of the vaccine is going to be necessary for full protection. With the latest COVID-19 surge upending American life yet again, an official rollout of boosters could begin within weeks pending FDA authorization. And it's likely that three doses of the vaccine are needed for full protection. This is what Fauci is saying now. What Fauci doesn't say, and we told you about this yesterday, or was it 2 days ago? I think it was Wednesday. We told you that major, major shakeup at the FDA. Two of the senior vaccine regulators who have been working at the FDA for decades. They have resigned. They are leaving. They no longer want to be a part of the FDA. And the reason why these two highly respected senior people are leaving is because the CDC, Anthony Fauci, and the Biden administration has been trying to bully them into recommending booster shots, and they don't believe booster shots are necessary. And they are not the only ones. In total, six people have left the FDA over vaccine disagreements just in the past 9 months. But they don't talk about that. One of the signs that somebody is lying to you is that they only tell you one side of the story. You will never see a story. And if you do, it's one out of 1,000. But it's extremely rare that you will ever see a story talking about somebody who died from having the vaccine. It is never the responsibility of the vaccine. And what they do is they want to have it both ways. If somebody dies after having a vaccine, it is never the fault of the vaccine. But if somebody dies of something else while having COVID, cause of death is always COVID. Have you ever stopped to think about how deceitful that is? The vaccines are never blamed for anything. COVID is blamed for everything. Somebody who has COVID dies of a heart attack. Cause of death? COVID. Somebody who has cancer dies of COVID, dies while having COVID. Cause of death? COVID. And this is all part of the plan. Listen to this clip from last year, last June, Dr. Deborah Birx admitting that the coronavirus death count is liberal.
Misreported by coronavirus because of either testing or standards for how they're characterized.
So I think in this country, we've taken a very liberal approach to mortality. And I think the reporting here has been pretty straightforward over the last 5 to 6 weeks. Prior to that, when there wasn't testing in January and February, that's a very different situation and unknown. There are other countries that if you had a pre-existing condition, and let's say the virus called you to go to the ICU and then have a heart or kidney problem. Some countries are recording that as a heart issue or a kidney issue and not a COVID-19 death. Right now, we're still recording it. And the great thing about having forms that come in and a form that has the ability to mark it as COVID-19 infection, the intent is right now that those, if someone dies with COVID-19, we are counting that as a COVID-19 death.
So there you have Dr. Deborah Birx. Early on in the pandemic, it was last summer, and she admits that it doesn't matter what you die of. If you die with COVID, not from COVID, but if you die with COVID, then she says that they are absolutely counting that as a COVID death. Now, you and I both know that is nothing more than the old Chicago hustle. That is a lie. But the whole thing is built on lies and half-truths and disinformation. And the reason why they do that is they are trying to advance the agenda of the New World Order. Now, I'm not going to go into a whole long debate on what's actually in those vaccines. To me, it doesn't really make any difference at all. I don't even need to know what's in those vaccines. I honestly don't. And the reason why I don't care what the ingredient list is in those mRNA vaccines is because when I look at how crazy that these people are to inject every single human being with this vaccine, I don't need to know what's in it to know that it's bad. And I want you to think about that. Don't spend a lot of time debating, does it have aborted baby parts? Does it have graphene? None of those things ultimately matter. You can learn everything you need to learn about the vaccine by the lengths that they're willing to suspend your liberty, suspend your freedom, threaten you, imprison you, ostracize you, mock you, make fun of you, take away your ability to earn a living, get you fired from your job. Don't focus on the ingredients. Focus on why they want to inject every single human being. And when you look at it from that perspective, then you begin to understand the larger picture. Because look, one of the most toxic substances you can put in your body is Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is so bad for you and causes so much damage to your health that it's nearly incomprehensible how bad Coca-Cola is for your body. And yet, that's one of the, every time that I go to a Baptist Sunday afternoon barbecue, anytime I've ever been to any church function, what have I seen? Bottles and bottles and bottles and bottles of Coca-Cola. Coca-Cola is one of the most poisonous things. 13 teaspoons of sugar in every can. Phosphoric acid, which damages your health to a level that you can't even begin to imagine. Phosphoric acid binds calcium, magnesium, and zinc. And it binds it in your lower intestines. Caffeine makes your pupils dilate, your blood pressure goes up. People, they drink Coca-Cola and they need to take a nap. They feel tired. So don't worry about the ingredients of what's in that shot. Worry about the fact that they are willing to go to such extreme lengths to make you take that shot. Over in France, Emmanuel Macron, he gave the order that supermarkets, you know, that place where you are able to purchase things like food and water. Emmanuel Macron last week gave the order for supermarkets in the nation of France to begin putting bouncers in front of the supermarket. And if you couldn't show a vaccine passport, these bouncers were there to prevent you from buying food, water, and medicine for you, your family, your children, your husband, your wife. Now, there was a great outrage in France, and the courts overturned it. And they said that you cannot prevent people from buying food and water with or without the vaccine passport. But what I want you to focus on is the fact that they tried it, and they're going to try it again. Just remember how many times they had a push for abortion until they finally got the Supreme Court to go along with them. It didn't happen overnight. And nations like France and Germany and England and even the United States, we are very, very, very close to, if you don't have the vaccine passport, no food, no water, no medicine. They're debating now whether or not somebody who is unvaccinated should be allowed to be treated in the emergency room. Well, let me ask you this question. If you can't treat somebody in the emergency room because they don't have the vaccine, should you also deny medical attention to overweight and obese people with diabetes and heart issues who need emergency treatment? Because nobody has to be obese. Nobody has to be overweight. Except in very rare cases when you have a hormonal issue. The vast majority of people who are overweight could relatively easily fix that problem. And a lot of them do, but a lot of them don't. And that leads to very serious health issues. So if we're not going to treat unvaccinated people, then you can't treat people who are overweight with diabetes and heart issues. You can't treat somebody who's homosexual and contracted AIDS through their fornication and promiscuity. Do you see where that leads to? All that leads you to the mark of the beast. The Bible says about the mark of the beast that it is directly related to buying and selling. The mark of the beast is a financial mark that is received through an act of spiritual worship. Revelation 13 says, "And he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads, and that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name." The mark of the beast is received through an act of worship, and it controls your finances. And over the past 12 years of doing this ministry, I have seen so many outrageous and outlandish interpretations of Revelation 13, 16, and 17. For a while, it was a popular thing because there was a lot of anti-Muslim sentiment, and I forget his name, but there was this Muslim Christian, and he was popular for a while, but I haven't heard from him in a long time. Oh, what was his name? And he said that the mark of the beast is the name of Islam, and he had this long, complicated teaching that if you look at the letters in Arabic which create the name of Islam, that is the mark of the beast. The people who started the Seventh-day Adventist cult, Ellen G. White, they say that the mark of the beast is Sunday worship. If you go to church on the Sunday, the Seventh-day Adventist people tell you that attending church on Sunday is the mark of the beast. And on it goes with really outrageous and ridiculous interpretations of Revelation chapter 13. But you don't have to run to the Greek and you don't have to run to the Hebrew. If you have a King James Bible and you turn to Revelation 13 and it says, "And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark." You don't need to interpret that. You don't need to go to your Strong's Concordance. Well, what does that word mark mean in the Greek? Really? You need a Strong's Concordance to tell you that without the mark of the beast, you can't buy or sell during the tribulation? I don't need a Strong's Concordance for that. I don't need Greek and Hebrew for that. I just need my King James Bible written in sixth grade English, and all I have to do is read it and believe it. So we're living in a day and a time where we are being fed a daily diet of misinformation and disinformation. Joe Rogan infected, taking horse medicine. What a bunch of crap that is. And they repeat it, and they repeat it, and they repeat it, and they repeat it, until even people like me and you, after we've seen that same headline 20 times in 3 hours, we say, well, maybe there is some truth to that. And there is no truth to that. Joe Rogan beat COVID in 72 hours using, or should I say, not using the vaccine. And I'm very, very glad that he was public about that and he posted the truth. And again, you're not going to find the truth in hardly any other website, but you'll always find the truth here at Now the End Begins. Here's the director of the CDC telling you, do not leave your town for Labor Day weekend that starts around 6 o'clock tonight.
Unvaccinated Americans should not travel Labor Day weekend because the COVID risk is too high right now. That's the message today from the CDC.
Given where we are with disease transmission right now, we would say that people need to take these risks into their own consideration as they think about traveling. First and foremost, if you are unvaccinated, we would recommend not traveling.
Now, I've been telling you guys for about 18 months that the vaccine is not the mark of the beast, and it's not. If you're one of those people that are forced to take the vaccine or you're going to lose your job, you have not taken the mark of the beast. You've taken something that could be potentially fatal. You've taken something that could give you blood clots. But if you're forced to take the vaccine by your employer or your social circumstances, you have not taken the mark of the beast. But know this, that the process by which they are mentally conditioning you to make you believe that you cannot be safe without a vaccine, that is absolutely leading you to the mark of the beast that will be here after we who were saved leave in the pre-tribulation rapture of the church. And that is absolutely 100% true. They are using this COVID crisis to mentally condition you. And if you think about it, it's taken an enormous amount of work on their part, a relentless year and a half advertising and marketing campaign, beating you into submission around the clock, day in, day out. If you don't take the vaccine, you cannot be safe. That's the message. That the only thing that can protect you and the only thing that can keep you safe is a vaccine injection from the government. Well, now let me ask you a question. In Revelation chapter 13, when it says this in your King James Bible, and he causes all, both small and great, rich and poor, free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. How do you think that mark gets in to your right hand? And how do you think that mark gets in to your forehead? It is injected inside your body. So what is the mark of the beast ultimately, but the ultimate injection from the government? So the vaccines are not the mark of the beast right now, but the process, the idea that you cannot be safe without the government injecting you with something to keep you safe, that is absolutely leading to the mark of the beast. And I tell people all the time, you need to make up your own mind. Be a Berean. Check it out. Investigate it. See if what I'm telling you is true. But what I'm telling you is true. I have not been vaccinated, and I will not be vaccinated. I've never taken a flu shot. A couple of years ago, I had the flu really, really badly. And when I think back on the symptoms, it almost sounds like I had COVID. I lost my sense of smell. I lost my sense of taste. I drank coffee and it just tasted like hot liquid. I couldn't taste the milk. I couldn't taste the coffee. I was sick in bed for about 12 days. I had a fever. I was coughing all the time. I was so tired, I couldn't even get out of bed. I went and I got a test and they said that I had the flu. But did having that extreme experience scare me into getting a flu shot? The answer is no. I will never take a flu shot. Just like I personally will never take the vaccine for COVID. Yes, I understand that COVID-19 is real. And I understand that it's a problem. And I personally know people who have died from it. My children today are going to be at the funeral for a man that we were praying for the last couple of weeks, Ken Shiner. He had COVID. His wife got it. His wife got over it pretty quickly. He died from it. And my kids are going to that funeral today. Is that motivating me to go out and get a vaccine? No, it's not. Just like when I had the flu really, really bad, maybe the worst I ever had it. Did that motivate me next flu season to make sure that I had my shot? The answer is no. But that's my personal choice. And it's a personal choice that I made after prayer and research and investigation. And I highly urge you to do the same thing. Don't just take my word for it. Go and do your own investigation. But when you do, investigate with the most recent story first. Go and Google Joe Rogan COVID. And I want you to read the headlines from the dozens and dozens and dozens of news outlets that made you believe that Joe Rogan was on death's door because he took horse medicine. And you'll see what I'm talking about. you really don't have to dig deep. It's kind of all right there on the surface. And, you know, when I do these stories for Now the End Begins, I have to do a lot of research. We do these podcasts, and the podcast is only 90 minutes. But I probably spend 2.5 to 3 work days researching what I'm going to talk about. So yes, the program is only 90 minutes, but it takes me 2 to 3 days to figure out what I want to talk about. And I advise you to do the same thing. If the preacher at your church says take a vaccine, do your research anyway. If the preacher at your church says don't take a vaccine, do your research anyway. You've got to be a Berean. Don't be ignorant. Find out for yourself. So the second thing that we want to talk about today, we cover disinformation and misinformation and why it's so deadly and how prevalent that it is. Now I want to talk about the culture of death that America has become. In New York State, their governor, Andrew Cuomo, was just removed from office. He resigned. But the reason why Andrew Cuomo resigned was because there was over a dozen complaints that he sexually assaulted women who worked for him in his government. And that's a good thing that those women are getting justice. But how come he wasn't removed from office because his executive order to put COVID-infected people into nursing homes killed 15,000 people? Why was the entire focus how he treated his employees? And the fact that his executive order was directly responsible for the death of 15,000 people, why doesn't that remove him from office? Well, one of the reasons for that is we're living in a culture that embraces death. And I posted an article yesterday, Joe Biden outraged that Texas dared to stop the murder of unborn babies at 6 weeks, and he vows to restore life-ending abortion services. Did you know that 33% of all abortions are black babies? Kind of makes you think that somebody is targeting the black people, doesn't it? 33% of all abortions anywhere in the world are black and brown babies. And I posted this picture of a demonic Joe Biden screaming in anger, his eyes flaming in red, and he's staring at the pregnant belly of a black woman as if he was going to rip that baby out of her womb with his teeth and devour it. Deuteronomy 30, verse 18 and 19 says, I denounce unto you this day that ye shall surely perish, and that ye shall not prolong your days upon the land whither thou passest over Jordan to go to possess it. And I call heaven and earth to record this day against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore, choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. The Democrats have chosen death. Remember when they used to say, my body, my choice? Remember that? For about the last 30 years, the rallying cry of all Democrats everywhere to justify abortion has been my body, my choice. The government can't tell me what to do with my body. And yet, overnight, my body, my choice has completely disappeared. And now it's, you have no right to not be vaccinated. So how did we go from my body, my choice to you have no right not to be vaccinated? Because we are embracing a culture of death. We've all seen the YouTube videos where you have women in areas where legislation has just been passed that allows for third-term abortion, that allows for due date abortion. We've all seen the videos of these women after hearing that the legislation is going to go through, weeping and crying, tears of happiness, because extreme radical abortion legislation has been put through. And I just want you to remember that every time you see a video like that, every time that you see a video where you have women, remember, a mother is supposed to protect their baby. If you're a woman and you're pregnant, you are the main protector of that child. So when you see women who weep tears of happiness after being told that radical legislation that legally allows them to kill their baby has just been passed, you are looking at people that are under the control of the spirit of Antichrist. Because when Antichrist comes, that's exactly what you're going to see. You are going to see death being glorified. Your King James Bible tells you that death is an enemy. That death is something that is, well, it's out to get you. We live in a fallen world. The Bible says that the last enemy that's going to be put under the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to be death. 1 Corinthians 15, 25 and 26. For he must reign, that's the millennial reign of Jesus Christ, till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So when you have a time and a period and a place like we do now, where death is glorified, you're dealing with people who have the spirit of Antichrist. And I don't say that lightly. If you want to say that it's a woman's right to choose, well, then by all means, finish the sentence. It's a woman's right to choose to murder her baby. Don't just stop halfway through the sentence. If you want to say that abortion is a woman's right to choose, she is choosing to murder her own child. And again, that is what you expect to see during the Great Tribulation. So we have people that are not just campaigning for abortion. They, when you take it away from them, they go crazy because you are telling them that they don't have the right to murder their own children. Take a listen to this from Tucker. Democrats have abandoned my body, my choice.
Good evening and welcome to Tucker Carlson Tonight. Here's an interesting observation slash theory. The slogans they yell the loudest are the ones they believe the least. We've been noticing that recently. Volume is inversely proportional to sincerity. Maybe you scream it because you don't really believe it. Why do we think this? Well, here's why. The very same people who've told us for decades now that it's my body, my choice, and seemed to mean it when they said it, those same people abandoned their own argument immediately when COVID arrived. Suddenly, on a dime, they turned and they were demanding that we wear the mask and get the shot. But these were not optional suggestions. They weren't deeply personal decisions to be made according to the dictates of individual conscience after consulting with family, physicians, and clergy. They weren't between you, your doctor, and God. No, not at all. These were mandates. All of a sudden, Democrats were arguing that actually politicians do get to decide what you do with your body. It's their choice, not yours. Inject these powerful drugs whether you want to or not because we own you. Now, whatever else that is not a pro-choice position, to put it mildly. So as we watched this happen, we wondered, what are these people going to say the next time so-called abortion rights get challenged in court? And now we know the answer. Because last night, the Supreme Court of the United States ruled on a new abortion law in the state of Texas. That decision came down, by the way, 5-4. That's the exact split that decided Roe v. Wade almost 50 years ago. So it's good enough to have meaning. This time, the court upheld a Texas law that effectively bans abortion once a fetal heartbeat is detected. Typically, that's about 6 weeks into a pregnancy. Now, this new law does not allow the government of Texas to enforce the ban, so no one's going to jail over abortion. Instead, the new law lets citizens sue clinics that commit illegal abortions. So no matter how you feel about abortion, it's kind of hard to argue this is an especially radical law. Intentionally stopping a person's heart from beating is the definition of killing. Government has a right to regulate that. In fact, deciding when it's okay to kill a person is, on the most basic level, the whole reason to have laws in the first place. So whether it's right or wrong, or whether you like it or not, it's not a crazy statute. It did, however, drive the media crazy. Here's CBS, quote, news last night.
It is nearly impossible to get an abortion in Texas. The most restrictive abortion law in the country went into effect after the U.S. Supreme Court declined to act on a request to block it.
Abortion providers say Texas has essentially outlawed 85% of abortion procedures, which will force many clinics to close. Amy Hagstrom-Miller runs four clinics providing abortion services and is one of the plaintiffs asking the Supreme Court to intervene.
It's heartbreaking to deny them the care that our staff are fully trained and ready to provide. So really most.
So you hear this woman saying that it is heartbreaking to deny women the care that they need. She's talking about killing babies. She's not talking about giving them chemotherapy for cancer, not talking about taking a mammogram, not talking about having a yearly physical or a health checkup, not talking about having her vision examined or her teeth cleaned. They're talking about murdering their children.
People are going to be forced to carry a pregnancy against their will.
The law.
Now, how about that? That woman says, should people be forced to carry a pregnancy against their will? I want you to think about the demonic nature of that statement. Here you have a woman that made a baby, either intentionally or not intentionally, and that baby is her child, her son or daughter, and that baby is growing inside her body, exactly the way that God ordained it to be. And that woman sneeringly said, should a woman be forced to carry a pregnancy against her will? I want you to think about that. Think long and hard before you answer that question. because it's a loaded question. You know, in Nazi Germany is a great prototype for what's happening around the world today. Adolf Hitler just decreed by fiat that babies with Down syndrome should be killed. Gypsies and homosexuals should be killed. All the Jews absolutely should be killed. And Adolf Hitler decided that he didn't have to live in a world with people that he didn't think were fit to exist. And so the day came when Adolf Hitler got the power that he craved, and he created that world where you could just erase people that you did not feel were fit to live. Should a woman be forced to carry a pregnancy? Be careful how you answer that question. 12 million people died in concentration camps because they answered that question the wrong way.
Law signed by Republican Governor Greg Abbott bans abortion once a so-called fetal heartbeat is detected, usually around 6 weeks.
How is an abortion service different from abortion? Why not just call it what it is? But here's the best line from CBS. A so-called fetal heartbeat. Imagine saying something like that out loud. Once they've decided you should die, they won't even admit you have a heartbeat. Do the very worst people in this country go into journalism, or does it just seem that way? Anyway, you'll notice that CBS does not make a case for abortion. No. They didn't tell you why it's so important to stop fetal hearts from beating. They just asserted that it is. What they didn't do is say a single word about how this violates your physical autonomy, about how it's your body, your choice. They can't say that now. They're for mandating vaccines and masks. So in that way, over at CBS, they're still a little bit smarter than the protesters you're seeing on your screen right now. These are the people who gathered outside the Texas State Capitol in Austin today. You'll notice that many of them are holding signs affirming their physical autonomy. You can't tell them what to do with their bodies. Politicians, hands off my body. But wait a second. At the very same moment they're declaring their physical autonomy, they're wearing their little obedience masks. And you can bet money all of them are vaccinated. Why? Because they were told to get the shot. So, of course, they obeyed. They don't see the irony here. On the other hand, how could they see it? So few sane people are left with big platforms in this country that you almost never hear a sensible, logical, rational argument about anything. Just hours ago, for example, the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, released this statement, and we're quoting, "Far from compromising them, vaccine mandates actually further civil liberties." You have more civil liberties when they control your body. You can just imagine the 1860s version. Far from compromising civil liberties, slavery actually enhances personal freedom. It's not even Orwellian at this point. It's post-Orwell. This is Uncharted. Things are changing so fast that a lot of people on the left are having trouble keeping up with the shifting justifications for the policies they want. Poor Jen Psaki. Never a genius to begin with, unintentionally blew herself up today at the White House press briefing. Watch this.
Why does the president support abortion when his own Catholic faith teaches abortion is morally wrong?
Well, he believes that it's a woman's right, it's a woman's body, and it's her choice.
Why does the president, who does he believe then should look out for the unborn child?
He believes that it's up to a woman to make those decisions and up to a woman to make those decisions with her doctor. I know you've never faced those choices, nor have you ever been pregnant, but for women out there who have faced those choices, this is an incredibly difficult thing.
Now, that's what liberals say when they are losing the argument. If you're ever discussing the topic of abortion with a liberal, and that liberal turns to you and says, "You're a man. You have no idea what it's like to be pregnant, and you have no idea what it's like to carry a baby." Those are meaningless statements. First of all, without the man, the woman couldn't get pregnant. So the man is intimately involved with the process and ultimately connected to the result. But the reason why liberals say things like that, oh, if you're not a woman, you have no right to discuss abortion. Really? A man doesn't have the right to advocate that somebody watches out for that baby in the womb? Is that the type of world that we've come to? You have no right to discuss abortion if you're not a woman? That's what they say when they're losing the argument. Just like if you're debating with somebody and they start a personal attack. Personal attacks begin when the other person has run out of intelligent things to say. And when you're talking with liberals and they say, well, if you're a man, you have no right. Excuse me, as a human being, I absolutely have the right to advocate for the protection of those who cannot protect themselves. So don't let liberals bamboozle you with that nonsense. That's what they say when they know that they have no argument of any kind. But it is the spirit of Antichrist that makes people want to kill their own children. And the fact that we're even debating this topic shows how wicked and depraved that we become, not just here in America, but around the world. Europe has these problems as well. Asia has these problems. Africa has these problems. North and South America have these problems. It's a Christian thing to do to protect the defenseless. Why do you think that God gives us the story of the Good Samaritan? And who was the person that stopped to help the Good Samaritan? It wasn't the people that you would expect. Turn to Luke chapter 10. Turn to Luke chapter 10. This is one of those stories that most people don't even, it's been so robbed of all its power that most people don't even understand the meaning of the Good Samaritan. Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 30. And Jesus answering said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came down a certain priest that way. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, remember, the Samaritans were the enemies of the Jewish people. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Now Jesus asked this question, which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? Now, of course, the man who needed the help in the story, obviously, was Jewish. The priest from the temple didn't help him. The Levite from the temple didn't help him. But the person who came and helped him was the person that was supposed to be one of the natural enemies of the Jewish people, the Samaritans. And what does Jesus say about this Samaritan? Verse 37, and he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. We all need to stand up for unborn babies. They're human beings. And if we reach a point in our culture, which it looks like we have reached that point, where people can just arbitrarily decide that the act of murdering your child should be government-funded health care, we are no better or no different from the Nazis. We are no better or no different than Adolf Hitler. And I don't say that lightly. You know, there's a website called Worldometer. And I'm going to put the link into the chat room. And this website gives you a running total of how many abortions are performed every single day around the world. And it is roughly 1 per second. That means that so far, in just the first 8 months of 2021, 28,684,713 abortions were performed. Do you realize that since I started telling you about this website, 70 abortions were carried out in just the time it took me to tell you about this website? 1 per second of every minute, of every hour, of every day, of every week, of every month, of every year. We live in a world that glorifies death. Now, who is it that glorifies death? It's the devil. The Bible says that death is our enemy. And whether you think you are, or want to be, or understand, we are in a battle right here and right now. I told you last year that the events that were taking place as of June of 2020 were so in line with Bible prophecy that I told you that the spirit of Antichrist, in anticipation of arrival of Antichrist, had already begun to spread around the world. And here we are 14 months later, and everything that I see on a daily basis, every news story, every soundbite, only backs up what I told you on June 3rd of 2020. It's time to open your eyes to the fact that the spirit of Antichrist is now here and that we are at war, whether you want to be or not. So let me just close with this thought. C.T. Studd said this. C.T. Studd said, "Only one life 'twill soon be passed. And only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life, yes, only one. Soon will its fleeting hours be done. Then in that day my Lord to meet and stand before his judgment seat. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last." Oh, let my love with fervor burn, and from the world now let me turn, living for thee and thee alone, bringing thee pleasure on thy throne. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. Only one life. Yes, only one. Now let me say, thy will be done. And when at the last I'll hear the call, I know I'll say, 'twas worth it all. Only one life 'twill soon be passed, and only what's done for Christ will last. The war is real, the battle is hot, and the time is short. And if you're not at the fight, you are missing out. It's time to get in the game. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 6, God asks Isaiah, who can we send and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercy. We thank you for all these that you've gathered, Lord. And in these closing hours of the church age, give us power, give us a holy unction to preach and teach in the highways and hedges, to use all the resources that you've given us to further your kingdom, Lord. To fill the seats on Flight 777 before it's everlasting too late. Give us strength, give us protection, give us provision, give us power. And help us to do, Lord, something that will last for you for all eternity. And we pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Well, thanks for tuning in today, everybody. Lord willing, we're going to see you back here Sunday morning, 11 a.m. Eastern time, for our house church Sunday service. Have a great weekend, everybody.
The preachers are weary. The singers are tired. The church as we know it is losing its fire. And some are discouraged from bearing the load. But we must determine to keep pressing on. 'Cause it's just one more soul. Struggle, it would be worth every mile. A lifetime of labor is still worth it all. If it rescues just one more soul. So preachers keep preaching, and singers go sing, and laymen keep sharing that Jesus is King. The angels have gathered, they're surrounding the throne, and they'll start rejoicing for just one more soul. 'Cause it's just one more soul.